responsive reading, page 787. Christianity in practice. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal, but aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. To the needs of the saints, practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited.
Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God.
For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord.
No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I know the Lord will add blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads as we get started here. We do thank you, Father, for the message that you have sent. I pray that it would be delivered in a manner that is pleasing to you and is in the manner with which you expected. May our hearts and our ears be open. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Cultural benchmarks of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, we had the pleasure of studying out of our Bible study guides for Sabbath school the topic of cultural influences. I'm sure you remember, it was only 2 weeks ago. I hope you're availing yourself of this important piece of information. It's a great source that we've been given both personally and corporately to lead us into a Bible study for each and every day of the week. Take advantage of it. Well, in this particular study, about 2 weeks ago, we looked at the different ways of addressing cultural differences and their accommodations, all within the families of faith model that God has recorded in his word. And I found myself so captivated with the variety of challenges that were addressed, I couldn't help but ask myself a question. Did Jesus ever address cultural accommodations? Cultural influences are recognized when we find that we're taking different pathways to accomplish a same or a similar goal. As you are well aware, each one of us exists in our own culture. So, I do this in a particular way, and you do that in a different way, and so forth. So the question remains, did Jesus ever address the mechanism of how we deal with each other in the setting of cultural differences and the associated need for accommodation? Well, no sooner than the thought crossed my mind than several biblical examples came to the surface. In fact, I came to realize as time went by that one could give a whole series of talks on this particular subject. We'll talk about a couple of things today. Now, when we think about cultural influences or challenges or differences in the manner which Christ would address them, we may think about those statements of summary that are found in the scriptures, those statements that are focusing on cultural accommodation. These would be the kind ways, the loving ways, the gracious ways, those effective ways that Christ has recommended as we deal with each other in our respective differences. These are ways that we may accommodate each other within those differences that surface in the multitude of cultures around the world. And I know many of you have been in a lot of those different cultures. So these statements are the most important ways of addressing the truths of how we live. They would be the bottom line or the default position of Jesus Christ on how to thrive in our relationship with others. Some might consider these to be an all or nothing type of statement. They would be where Jesus levels the playing field on cultural differences. You could say that it is ground zero for the subject of cultural accommodation. Statements where we would hear Jesus saying something like this: if all else fails, don't fail to do this. I think you get the picture of what we're talking about here. So I ask you this morning, did Jesus ever address the granting of cultural accommodations for one another? Of course he did. Let me give you what I believe is the greatest example of Christ's way of dealing with those sticky situations when our cultural differences may seem to be insurmountable. Early on in his ministry, Jesus was speaking to a large crowd near the Sea of Galilee. You know this as the, what? Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and as well in Luke 6. Now, this sermon that Christ gave is just packed with great information on the how-to for Christian living. A few weeks ago, Brother Luke finished a series on that entire sermon, and he completed that just a few weeks back. Christ makes a brief statement in his sermon that I believe addresses cultural accommodations. Can you think of what that statement might be? Did somebody say the golden rule? We know the declaration that Christ made is known as the golden rule. I think you're acquainted with this, but turn in Matthew 7, verse 12. Also found in Luke 6, 31, a shorter version. You want to turn to those two texts, we'll read them. Matthew 7, 12, and then Luke 6, 31. I'll be reading the King James Version. Now, it's interesting to note that these two respective authors, Matthew and Luke, put the testament of Christ into two different places within this Sermon on the Mount. Matthew places it at the end of the section on effective prayer, whereas Luke places his context in love for your enemies. So reading Matthew 7:12, therefore all things whatsoever that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Note the New Testament in modern English, J.B. Phillips' translation says, this is the essence of all true religion. Then we have Luke 6:31. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So what is at the heart of the golden rule? In theory, at least, all moral humans will accept this rule because it addresses as the most important the perception which human beings have of themselves. Even those of high principles will concede that the focal point of each human is our own being. As such, we will seek to shield and to serve our own selves regardless of the cost. Whether we like to admit it or not, our thoughts and our actions, our words, are generally centered around ourselves. We will tend to regard ourselves over everything and over anyone. Stop and think about that. It's actually kind of embarrassing, wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
Yeah. Human beings are so self-centered. You know, Paul actually addressed this in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3. He warned about the dangerous times in the last days. So apparently this is more of a problem now than it used to be. The first thing out of Paul's pen was about selfishness. So the golden rule then requires that we apply this theory by putting it into practice. Do for others as we would like done for ourselves. Yes, this does mean that by the grace of God, we need to do something. Treat others like we like to be treated. Give others the same consideration that we would wish to be given by them. I think that you would agree that for Christians, cultural differences require accommodation. Let's review a couple of Bible examples. Turn to Genesis 13, if you would. There's a story of Abraham and Lot, verses 7 to 11. So Abram and Lot were having a little strife between their herdsmen. And Abram said, "Let's don't have this strife between us and between our workers. We're brothers, after all. Is not the whole land before thee? Now separate thyself, I pray. If you take the left hand, I'll go to the right, and vice versa." So Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. That is, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was even as the garden of the Lord. That sounds to me like it was like the Garden of Eden. Must have been a beautiful place. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. So we can see Abram practice the golden rule in his relationship with his nephew Lot. However, Lot doesn't seem to be willing to return the favor. Now if you would turn to Luke 10, verses 30 to 35, roughly. Jesus told a story of a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And the priest came by and saw him. The Levite did the same thing, and they passed by. But there was a certain foreigner, a Samaritan, who laid eyes on him and had compassion, bound up his wounds, took him to be cared for, and paid his fare, basically. So we see that this Samaritan, we call the Good Samaritan, practiced the golden rule on the man who had fallen to the roadside thieves. He cared for the man after the local church leaders failed to put this rule into practice. Now turn back to Matthew 18, 23. This is the story of a particular lord who had some debtors within his kingdom. And the short version of the story is one particular debtor owed a lot of money, and he couldn't pay it. So he went crying to the Lord, who subsequently forgave him. Upon which, that same debtor went to someone who owed him money, a fraction of what he had owed the Lord, and demanded it from him. And so some of the fellow workers of this fellow told the Lord this, and the Lord was very angry and delivered him to the tormentors or torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And the text ends, "So likewise my heavenly Father will do to you if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." So this same debtor failed to apply the grace that had been given to him for someone who was in the very same situation that he had been in. Just imagine, friends, what our human relationships would be like if the theory of the golden rule were practiced by all professed believers in Jesus Christ. What an impression the world would have of the gospel of Jesus. Listen to what one author has written about the golden rule. "Your relationship to God and your fellow man demands a change in your life. In the Sermon on the Mount, the injunction of the world's Redeemer was, 'All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them.' This is the law and the prophets." These words are of highest value to us. A golden rule given us by which to measure our conduct. This is the true rule of honesty. Very much is comprehended by these words. We are required to deal with our neighbors as we would wish them to deal with us, were we in their circumstances. Seize every opportunity to contribute to the happiness of those around you, sharing with them your affection. Words of kindness, looks of sympathy, expressions of appreciation would be to many struggling, lonely one as a cup of cold water to a thirsty soul. A word of cheer, an act of kindness would go far to lighten the burdens that are resting heavily upon weary shoulders. It is in the ministry of unselfishness that true happiness is found. Every word and deed of such service is recorded in the books of heaven as if done to Christ. So, Live in the sunshine of God's love. Then your influence will bless the world. Here's one more. The Savior taught this principle of the golden rule to make men happy, not to make them unhappy. For in no other way can happiness come. God desires men and women to live the higher life. He gives them blessings in life, not to enable them merely to gain wealth, but to improve their higher powers by doing the work that He has entrusted to mankind. The work of searching out and relieving the necessities of their fellow men. So how can we as sons and daughters of God, how can we as followers of Christ apply this golden rule theory in our relationships with those around us? Does Christ show us in particular how to apply this golden rule in relieving those necessities of our fellow men? Well, as a matter of fact, He does. So happens that He gives us a direct application in dealing with a humanity that is filled with cultural challenges that are in need of accommodation. The reference is found in another sermon on another mountain. This one was late in Christ's ministry. And you can turn to Matthew 25, verse 31. It was just 2 days before the Passover. And Jesus here delivers an additional bottom line, shall we say, on the benchmark for cultural accommodations, what we may do for others. It's as if He's saying, if all else is forgotten in your relationship with others, don't neglect to do this. You'll notice this entire section is under the heading of the final judgment. The greatest thing today, shall we say, is that we have been given an entire 13-week study on this very subject. Do you know that? There's a present. If you don't have one in your lap, there's one out in the foyer in the narthex. This is the Bible study guide for next quarter, Sabbath school lesson. And consider picking it up if you don't have it. The study guide is entitled, The Least of These, Ministering to Those in Need. And I'm positive that within this study, we will discover and review what Christ had to say about living the golden rule in our lives. He'll show us how to apply that more specifically. I'm confident of that. Now, paraphrasing Matthew 25, 31 to 40, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then He will say to the sheep on His right hand, Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom that has been ready for you since the world was made. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you invited me to your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we see you and do all that? Then the king will clarify, Let me tell you one thing for sure. When you did these things for one of the least of these, my brethren, you were doing it for me. These are the accommodations for a basic human necessity. Did you get all six of them? Food, water, hospitality, clothing, helping, and visitation. The Bible actually tells us that we will be judged by the King of the universe on these particular items. What we have done to help poor and the suffering. I apologize for my voice. So let us make a decision to benefit from the study of this divine benchmark of accommodation in the coming weeks. It's like this whole study fell into our lap. Let's take advantage of it. So this morning, we have heard from Christ's discourses on cultural benchmarks from two different mountaintops. One reference is from the beginning of His ministry, and it was given to a multitude of people. The other is very near the end of His ministry, and he was speaking to his very best friends. Let us pray that we will fulfill this application of his ideal for the culture that we find ourselves living in right here in Sutherland. If you're still awake, say amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for showing us the way, for living your example. We pray that you will enable us, that you will strengthen us to put our shoulder to the gospel, move ahead with you, to stay strong, stay faithful in these days. We ask this, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.